Hey everyone, we are back, and today we're here talking, just giving a general update of what's new in Alzheimer's treatment and prevention.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that came out. I thought let's just go through some of the big news that's happening in Alzheimer's research. The first thing, you know, last week we talked about the new medication that came out, Leqembi.
Yes, Leqembi was approved for submission to Health Canada, and that was a big breakthrough. And you found something else.
Well, just saying that, so this class of medications, which end in the, you know, the ending of MAB, so Leqembi's lecanemab, and this new one's called donanemab. And
is not very original. No, is there a significance to the MAB ending?
I think what that means is that these are very similar medications. They all act the same way.
Okay.
So that's, so what's interesting is Eli Lilly's medication.
Okay.
Eli Lilly is one of the, you know, biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world.
Okay.
And they have just reported that their phase 3 trial, which is the, you know, the most advanced trial where they're actually testing on humans of 1,200 people, showed some very promising results in reversing Alzheimer's.
So when you say reversing Alzheimer's, what are you really meaning? Because we've talked in the past about the brain having plaque, and there's also different the tangles. Like I'm trying to learn. I'm learning. Yeah. So how do you reverse it? What does that mean?
You know, I don't want to. Maybe I shouldn't be using the word reverse because I haven't seen the trial.
But
it could be slowing it down.
Slowing it down. Okay.
And same like Leqembi, same thing.
Okay.
Because it works the same way by reducing the formation of amyloid deposits in neurons in the brain.
Okay. So it's slowing that down,
yeah.
And they're seeing improvement on humans.
On humans. That's great. So same like Leqembi, but here we have another drug, might be more successful. Let's wait for the results to come out. But all it's telling us is that, hey, it looks like there's a number of these medications now that seem to be working the same way. And it just bodes well that, hey, we're getting more options now for patients with Alzheimer's to get treatment.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a $26,000 price tag to it. Maybe it's cheaper.
yeah, that was right? The issue with the other one was really expensive. I don't know what this one is. This might take another year to come out, but pretty exciting. Let's see.
Awesome. Okay, and then what's next?
Yeah, the second thing I want to talk about was this mice study where they basically were trying to stimulate the growth of new neurons, which we call neurogenesis, which means this idea that in Alzheimer's, what they found is that people tend to have less new brain cells forming, less neurogenesis happening.
So neurogenesis is actually the formation of new brain cells.
Yeah, so neuro and genesis means creation.
Okay, neurogenesis.
And particularly we're looking at an area called the hippocampus. So
I've heard about that. Is that in the front?
It's kind of the midbrain.
Okay.
And it really is like a center of your emotions and it's not the what we call the logical part, or it's more deeper,
the emotional part.
Emotional, and it command center. It controls a lot of the hormones released that's being released as well.
Okay.
And what they find is that this part of the brain starts to show less neurogenesis in patients with Alzheimer's.
Okay. Does neurogenesis only happen during a certain period in someone's time in the life chart?
Well, that's what we used to think, is that we used to think that once you have brain cells, they're never going to grow again. Like we always have this kind of been taught that, but
mine
now,
don't grow.
No, but that's what we're saying, that we think that now there's what we call neuroplasticity exists. It means that the brain is constantly changing.
Okay.
So it's never too late to learn new things, and your brain is always learning new things. So that's why when people take, you know, potentially psilocybin trips, in effect, they're reprogramming their brain. That's happening by new brain cells forming. Sure, it doesn't happen the same way when you're like 5 years old.
Sure.
It's not the same speed, but it's not that nothing happens.
Right.
So,
okay.
So, you know, what they found was that there was a very famous study where they looked at taxi drivers in the UK, and they found that that taxi drivers who had, you know, been driving for many years had a different brain was slightly different programmed because of all the memorization of all the city streets. So it tells you that their brain was slightly different because it was constant learning.
Right. Okay.
So it tells you that we're constantly changing in response to our environment and our experiences. And so in the study, they were able to associate the fact that neurogenesis, lack of decreased neurogenesis is associated with Alzheimer's disease, but they were unable to prove it.
And somehow with these mice,
yeah,
it's showing their improved or neurogenesis is happening.
It's actually happening. Because they're unable to before show that
there was any of this happening.
Yeah, they just knew that they were associated, but they didn't know if it was causal.
Right, okay.
So here what they did was that they used a light therapy,
mm-hmm.
which we call, you know, pulses of light, which is another type of treatment. I don't know if you've heard of, you know, red light therapy.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah.
These are very powerful therapies. They do have effects. And so they were able to bathe these neuron cells in the, with this light therapy, and also then give a chemical that would stimulate neurogenesis. And so they were able to show that that these mice would
have improved
neurogenesis.
That's so crazy. So
I thought it was just interesting.
Yeah, because, I think it's like, again, who would think that? Like, how do you associate light therapy to like improve neurogenesis? Like, who thinks of these things? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then the last thing I want to just talk about was the you know, we sometimes talk about what type of diet is the best diet to be on.
Yes. And well, when I think about brain food, right? Like what food is good for your brain?
Yeah, and I think I have a lot of like thoughts that there's probably no one master diet. Like, you know, for some people keto diet's better, and some people vegan, and some people paleo, and some people, you know, Mediterranean diet, which we're going to talk about now. But they looked at this study to and looking at like a lot of people, 60,000 people, and
in the Mediterranean.
This is in the UK.
In the UK, okay.
Yeah, and what they were able to find was that those who had the highest scores of Mediterranean diet, and maybe we should even talk about the Mediterranean diet, but the highest scores of Mediterranean diet had the lowest incidence of Alzheimer's.
That's interesting that they could find this correlation between Mediterranean diet and not low risk. They didn't have it.
No, lower risk.
Lower
risk. So 23% lower risk of getting Alzheimer's.
When it was reported that they followed a Mediterranean diet.
Let's just say, so basically in this case, it's always difficult to understand how
sure.
people's diets are.
Right.
So they had them fill out a scale, like they did a questionnaire
sure.
scale to see, you know, were they a low Mediterranean person mm-hmm. diet or were they a high Mediterranean diet? From the low Mediterranean diet to the high Mediterranean diet, there was a 23% decreased risk if they're having more of a Mediterranean diet than a person was low. So,
well, that's pretty
good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's an obvious, like that's a key marker, right? Like yeah. when you can see a 23%. Difference.
Yeah, it's still significant, and like over 60,000 people, it was significant. So, you know, it seems like the effect is real, and it was so Mediterranean diet. Maybe we should talk about that quickly.
Yeah, please. I think olives and feta.
I think you're pretty close.
Like
I mean,
literally,
what people
I'm
do,
like olives
what
and feta.
Do people eat
in
Greece and Italy and Spain and all and so on, but they're eating, you know, lots of vegetables.
Yes.
Olive oil, you know.
Yeah.
Small amounts of meat, not a huge amount of meat, but they're having fish and having lean meat.
Yeah, I always think of the Slovakia or the gyro is what I think of Mediterranean. But yeah, like cucumbers,
yeah.
tomatoes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Green leafy vegetables and things like that. But and maybe you know, a little bit of bread here and there. But I think it's primarily a healthy vegetable diet with some meat that's, you know, not fried meat and things like that.
Yeah, I don't classify, and that's interesting, associate Mediterranean diet with greasy fat food.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what
right?
that's how you would kind of think about it.
Yeah.
And maybe we should put the link down to the Mediterranean
sure.
diet in the notes, just because I think I may not be explaining exactly right. But what's interesting here is that they found quite an association over 60,000 people. Now, of course, how people report their diet is not always
accurate, right?
But still pretty good that they were able to find it. There was no, you know, reason that people would, you know, that it would necessarily come up with the wrong result here. I think there wasn't
any study. This is a study. That's what the data says.
Yeah.
Right. So you use what you want from that information. I think a Mediterranean diet is not a bad diet. So
no, it's definitely worth looking at it. And the other thing that's kind of interesting is that they looked at their ApoE scores of these people. So that's kind of interesting as well. And they found that there was no effect, like even the people with a low genetic risk versus those with an ApoE4, all had benefit from
using that's also
so that's good too.
That's also good because it's showing consistency regardless of the genetics.
Yeah, I mean
some consistency.
It means that okay, even whatever your genetic risk, helpful to have a Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
Reducing your.
I think it's in the data, so we will make sure that we provide an example of a Mediterranean diet so that you can take a look and see if it's for you. Again, this is the battle to end Alzheimer's. Please subscribe, like, share if you feel that this was useful, and also to anybody that's interested in preventing Alzheimer's. And you can follow Dr. Sanjeev's journey as every week we share something new that we discover about Alzheimer's.
I just want to say one thing is that if people have any questions out there they'd like us to kind of
talk
about,
yes,
maybe they can just comment in the comments. They can do that, or
that would be helpful because there's a lot of new studies and research. But I think if we're able to address your specific question or need, we would love to do that. So make sure you put your questions in the comments, and we'll make sure to look at them for you.
All right, take care.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.